Bless this word and the words from me, your servant, to speak through and to your people as we go and serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My mother was a Martha. She wasn't about ready to use that rolling pin on me or whoever took the picture. That's just a normal picture. When you showed up at her home, you had better be ready to eat. She was you can tell, okay? You know, she was a product of the Depression with its scarcities. And because of that, her house had every nook and cranny filled with goodies. Mother also had three freezers, not little ones, okay, filled to the top. So when guests arrived, she would set about to whipping up an amazing meal that was always wonderful. When we moved her out of that house in 2008, where Daddy and her had lived for almost 60 years, in the one freezer, we found jelly, jam, and things like that in the bottom of one of the freezers from 1977. And that was 2008, okay? And for years, my brother and I, when we would go visit, we would... she would want to make us something, and I'm going to get to that, you know, and we'd say, Mother, pull out those stuffed peppers that you and Daddy made. And this was like in the early aughts, and Daddy died in 1998, so we were eating stuff that was 15 years old, but it was still good, but it was in those freezers, those three freezers, one person living in this big house. So when guests arrived at her house, she would set about whipping up an amazing meal that was always wonderful. And each meal was topped off with Turkey Hill or Breyer's ice cream or shoe fly or funny cake pie that she miraculously already had on the counter. And if she knew that we were coming, she would inquire which of our favorites that she could make for us, and she would have that ready for us when we arrived. Because Mother's love language was service. And she served, and she served, and she served. Mother was a Martha. But oftentimes her service meant that we didn't see much of her as she scurried about the kitchen, cooking and chopping and boiling and plating. And she scurried because, and it was amazing because she had no ankle bone in her one leg. And she lived in pain most of her life, and she waddled around because of that. In fact, she had a wheelchair that her father had made that was a chair with wheels on it. And Mother, long before they had that cart that I think Pam Peacock is using, okay, it's a cart that... And she can affirm this for us and send out a Facebook post or something about the thing that you kneel on and motor around on that. My mom did that 50 years ago, motored around on that chair. And she would scurry, whether she was pushing the chair around or walking around the kitchen. We'd be sitting at the table, and Daddy would rope her in with, Mother, come sit down so that we can pray. And so she would. And we'd pray. And then she'd be right back up, retrieving this salt shaker or this new hot sauce that I got. She loves spicy stuff. That's where we learned about it. Or that different kind of butter. And Daddy would again say, Catherine, will you sit down and eat with us? And she finally would. Sit down for a little while until she needed to get out the ice cream and cut the pies. Mother was a Martha. Marthas are good. They are really good. They are servers extraordinaire. The passage immediately preceding the one in Luke 10 that I just read, immediately preceding it, is the parable of the Good Shepherd. Jesus and his entourage had just come from Jericho, and they were coming in the Jericho road to Bethany, okay? And that's when Martha saw them and invited them in. And so that passage about the Good Samaritan is an unmistakable example of service that is far above and beyond the call of duty. And the implication is that indeed the call of duty for a Christ follower is to go the extra mile and pay the extra cost and take the extra risks required, because that is what Christ followers do, because that's what Christ would do and what Christ did. We are called to be good and faithful servants. But Mary just sat there. Jesus had perhaps dozens of people with him, maybe more. Last week, we talked about how thousands followed him. As a matter of fact, the opening verses of chapter 10 record how Jesus sent out 72 disciples on ministry missions. So this isn't just a little luncheon with just Jesus and maybe just 12 of his disciples. There were most likely a lot of people who arrived at Martha's house, and she invited them in. And Mary, her sister, just sat there. Martha worked, and Mary sat. It's the ingredients of conflict. It's also a lesson from the dinner table. And this particular lesson is pretty straightforward, and it's about dinner roles. So let's look at those roles. First, Martha welcomed, Mary worshiped. Martha may have already known Jesus at this point. We know from the Gospel of John chapter 11 that Martha and Mary are the sisters of Lazarus, and that the three siblings had a deep friendship with Jesus. Read John 11 sometime. It's where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and you hear almost the betrayal that Jesus took his time to come and take care of Lazarus until Lazarus is dead, and the sisters like, what kind of friend are you? You know, so there's a friendship here. And regardless of where this encounter is in that friendship, whether it's the first time Martha ever saw Jesus, or if she's, oh, Jesus is coming, and welcomed him in, Martha saw Jesus and his friends coming, and she welcomed them all into her house. She had the gift of hospitality. And that's the kind of hospitality that happens about everywhere else in the world except for here. Back in 1999, I was on an investigative trip for Mennonite Central Committee to Honduras and Nicaragua. It was exactly a year after Hurricane Mitch had really devastated those two countries. In fact, they had an expression already 1 year later in Spanish. It meant to be mitched. You got mitched, okay? Devastated, destroyed. I have many vivid memories from that trip, but one of them that will always percolate to the top is when, as our group drove through a little village on the north coast, some of the villagers noticed our leader, whom they knew from her time when she lived there, and they flagged us down to stop and visit. We were in a Nissan pickup, sitting in the back, and they waved us in. And so we, and by the way, they waved like this there, okay? Not like this. And so we went through a roadblock and kept going. They were telling us to do this, but they weren't doing this. And so we kept driving. So that's the only time I ever ran from the cops, by the way. And I didn't even know I was doing it. But they had us come in. We came in, we sat and visited with them. And then they made us have lunch. Then we ate their lunch while they watched us. We ate their lunch and they didn't have anything. And they sat and they loved doing that. They gave up their meager and delicious meal of beans and chicken and bread. Welcoming is good. Welcoming is good. And we've established that over this past month. But worship is better. Yes. Service is good, it's essential, but worship is what you do first. In fact, worship is what prepares you for service. So Mary just sat there. But she was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. Verse 39 says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. This is an unmistakable description of a disciple who is completely wrapped up in what her teacher is saying. This is what disciples did. They sat at the feet of their teacher, of their rabbi. And it was unusual because Mary, being a female, would have been an extremely unusual student in a male-dominated world, but not in Jesus's world. It was not out of place in Jesus's world. Jesus's students are both sexes. His teaching is for everyone. So Mary sat at his feet in worshipful attention. Now, two more roles at this dinner are Martha prepared, Mary listened. Now, this one is similar to the previous one, but hear me out. Like my mother, and frankly, like my wife, Martha wanted everything to be just perfect. I suspect she had servants, and she was supervising the meal prep in a flurry of activity. That's why I chose this background. It shows a flurry of activity. The bread had to be perfect. The bread had to be taken out of the oven before it burned. The meat needed to be perfectly done, not too pink, and definitely not too done. The wine needed to be poured without dripping on the guests. And oh no, we forgot to wash the guests' feet. So much to do. So little time. So little help. Martha had a servant's heart, but her heart was getting frustrated because Mary wasn't helping. Mary wasn't even in the kitchen. She wasn't even trying. Mary was listening. She was hearing life. She was hearing life in Jesus' words, and she couldn't take her ears off of him. She may have had similar thoughts to what are in that sweet old hymn that begins, "Sing them over again to me." Wonderful words of life. And then it later continues, "Christ, the Blessed One, gives gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life, all so freely given, wooing us to heaven. That's what his words do to the soul of the one who truly listens. Wonderful words of life. So Mary wasn't being selfish. She was enfolded by words that put eternity in her heart. Mary listened because she could do no less than that. And there are two more roles here. This basket of roles is full. Martha moved. Mary sat. Again, this is similar, but I'm making a point because Jesus is making a point. Martha's kitchen was a scene of tornadic activity as she moved from this pot and that jar and wielded this knife. And she moved with frenetic yet deliberate activity. She did this because this was Jesus, the one that some thought was the promised Messiah. Messiah, everything needed to be just right for the Messiah. And where's Mary? Mary was sitting. We've established that. As her sister worked, Mary was sitting at the feet of this riveting rabbi. There's no indication that she even noticed all of the activity of the meal being prepared. Is she a narcissist or something? No. Mary was sitting and listening and worshiping at the feet of Jesus. But that made the roles into very hot cross buns. Martha was ticked. And so we see finally that Martha worried, but Mary won. Martha had had enough. She finally blew, as in exploded. I picture the time my mom was a little behind in meal prep, and this is a story that my dad told. It may have been embellished, okay? But mother needed to get done quicker, so she put dried beans, with water, of course, into a pressure cooker to hurry up the cooking process. Now, she had done this before. She used the pressure cooker a lot. But in this case, it was a bad idea. And the pressure cooker exploded, and the lid went straight to the ceiling, and the petcock, where the petcock goes on, put a hole in the ceiling above the stove, okay? And the black beans that she was cooking were on every surface in the kingdom. So you can picture that picture of mother, those cabinets, which my dad had built, okay? They were covered with black beans, and mother had black beans down her face and matted in her hair. And daddy said that when he ran to the kitchen, because he wasn't just sitting in the living room while this, he came out, and she was just getting up from behind the table. We have this picture of mother coming up, like coming out from behind the cover, and she wasn't hurt. She wasn't burned. She wasn't hurt. She wasn't hurt, at least until daddy started laughing at the sight, and then she got ticked. Like that pressure cooker, Martha had been building up pressure, and she blew. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Everybody was included in her frustration. Of course, Mary took a hit. My sister has left me alone. But also Jesus took a hit. Jesus, the Messiah. Do you not care? Our text says that Martha was distracted with much serving. The word distracted means to be torn apart. She forgot her mission to welcome and to serve and ended up worried and angry. One commentator writes here, to just about everyone else present, Martha's serving probably appeared to flow from a gracious servant heart. But Jesus discerned differently. He saw that Martha was serving out of anxiety, not grace. It made me think of Mr. Joel was here this morning and how, well, he never had much choice, but when he would come to our house, he would be waylaid at the door before anybody else could say to him, and the grands would take him into the living room and he'd play with them. And I heard that his step-grandson asked him just recently, this four-year-old said, are you an adult? Because adults didn't take time with Cam. But another friend, another little boy would. So our little boy Joel does that. Sometimes we're so distracted that we don't take time to just stop. Now Jesus could have said, Martha, calm down. But Jesus, being God and all-knowing, knew the lack of wisdom in saying that to a woman. I learned this 40 years too late, okay, by the way, that never in the history of calming down has anyone ever calmed down from being told to calm down. Instead, Jesus lovingly says, he says it in not a condescending way, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. You're serving in such a wonderful way, but Mary has chosen the one thing necessary. She's chosen the good portion, the good thing, the right thing, the correct thing. And so this isn't about winners and losers. But Mary won. Mary's done the right thing. Soup would have been better when the choice was between a gourmet meal and sitting at the feet of Jesus. One writer points out, at that moment, Mary was more enthralled with Jesus than with Mary. She cared more about what Jesus said than what others thought of her and her home. And because of this, Jesus commended her choice not to serve. She wasn't a narcissist. She was more enthralled with Jesus than with herself. So here's my point. We need to just forget ourselves and sit at the feet of Jesus. As Christ followers, we have different roles. The most important role is sitting at his feet and learning, and then all the other roles fall into place. When you sit at Jesus' feet, you're not letting all the other ones go. You're starting with the most important one. F.B. Meyer makes this important point. He says, Mary and Martha each gave of her best. Each had her own sphere. One ministered to his physical need, the other to his heart. Just realize that's misspelled. The mystical and practical are both required in Christ's service and blend at his feet. Don't live for many things, but for him. End quote. Donald Miller, another commentator, writes this in a similar vein. Service to Jesus must not be misdirected to such an extent that a person has no time to learn from him. One honors him more by listening to him than by providing excessively for his needs. So we need to be learning and growing as we are serving, as we prepare to be serving. Of all the roles that we can have in this lesson from the dinner table, and maybe from all the lessons from all the dinner table messages that we're having, this one is the one that most will nourish our souls. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life.